I'd like to move us right along to a Peter
Nicolaitis.
Now, we had a chance to meet this young man, and boy, that's just a straight shooter with upper management written all over him.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there. Yeah, he's been real flaky lately. And I'm just not sure that he's the caliber person that we would want for upper management. He's also been having some problems with his TPS reports.
Friends with beer?
Peter, it's the TPS reports that keep coming back to haunt you.
Yeah. Look, I got the memo. I don't need another copy of the memo.
I have the memo.
I have the memo.
I love that so much.
As they say in Finland, did we come here to talk or did we come here to drink?
Mm. This time you get to discuss your beer first. Speak it.
Very good. I have a Catamount Porter. It is 5.7% alcohol, made from Harpoon Brewery, which used to be the old Catamount Brewery before they went out of business.
Before they got harpooned?
Before they got harpooned, yes. The Catamounts got harpooned. And I was surprised to find that they are still distributing beer under the Catamount label. So
it's leftover.
Yeah, leftovers for like, you know, 12 years or something.
Okay, I have another Ex Novo. This one is Milagro Oscuro. And it is, I don't know why they name it that, but it is a Mexican-style dark lager.
It sounds like you were trying to talk Mexican there for a minute.
It sounded like I was trying to talk Italian. Okay, here goes.
All right.
Oh,
pop. Sounds good.
Oh, my God. My custom keyboard.
Well, there you go. That's what you get for drinking beer over a custom keyboard.
You know what? Apparently, I did that last time and didn't notice because I see stains on my keys. Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Pouring. This, by the way, is looks like a 16-ouncer. What? Yeah, 16 ounces and 5.8%.
All right, then.
Brewed and packaged in Portland, Oregon. All right, are you ready? Quit typing your love letters.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Beers.
Beers. Look, it's a dark Mexican lager. Can you? I don't know what I'm doing. Here, right here.
Yeah, well, this is a dark porter.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a redundant statement, but hey.
Sometimes you just need a porter to carry your luggage for you.
I could call this a Sherpa.
Mm-hmm.
So, how you been, Scott?
How you been, Peter? How are those TPS reports coming?
I've been better these last few days, but it was touch and go for a little bit.
Because of the tech rage or something else?
Mostly tech rage, yep.
I've had tech rage today, but some kind people at... Oh, what's the name of this company? The Reclamation Project. No. Reincubate. The kind people at Reincubate helped me, so I'm better now.
Monolith 3000?
No. Reincubate. It's the actual name of the company. I'm trying to tell you.
I thought Monolith 3000 was the actual name of the company.
I'm not talking about work. I'm talking about software that I was fighting with.
I just figured that you'd be fighting with software at work.
I do fight with software at work, but it's not... I don't have to reach out to outside vendors.
Oh, well, I do all the time.
Well, the only outside... For the software that I test, the only outside vendor I have is a Japanese company that we deal with all the time. And believe me, we're in constant communication with those people.
Did you see the picture of that killer Japanese... Not Japanese. Jeez. Japanese on the brain. That killer lasagna I made 2 nights ago?
Not a Japanese.
Mm-mm.
And not Japanese.
No. Not Japanese and not a Japanese.
Right. I did see a picture of that. I didn't taste it, though. So, I mean, I've seen pictures of lasagna
before.
You're
lost, man. You're lost. This was a pretty amazing lasagna.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, you have to convince me that that lasagna in that picture was better than any other lasagna whose pictures I've seen before. I've seen a lasagna mugshot before, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but this was one of the best lasagnas that I have ever had, if I do say so myself. And mm-hmm. I do say so myself.
It wasn't holding up its prisoner ID in front of itself.
It was really, really good.
And who
did you
serve
really
it to, Peter?
Myself and the lady.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And the drink behind it too.
You fed the lasagna to the drink.
I fed the lasagna to it. Yes. So you can see there's a little bit of a reddish tinge to that martini glass there. So no, that was a mocktail in the background, because I have also cut back on my drinking. And this may very well be the only beer I have all week, for instance. But that mocktail is essentially a Moscow Mule, but it's a mango mule, and there's no vodka. So it's just a mango, I guess a mango mule is what you would call it. Mm. But I served it in a martini glass because I didn't have any of my little copper cups handy.
Oh,
so it's completely a poser.
Are there any fruits that start with a D that you can think of?
Durian.
Okay. So you could have a durian donkey after you have your mango mule.
You could, and I think that stuff is disgusting. It probably tastes like donkey. So, yeah, no.
I had to go a long ways for that really stupid joke.
Yes. So, you talked briefly about your tech rage, but mine...
Yeah, but first I have another problem.
Oh, well, let's hear it.
My wife is on vacation.
Your wife is your problem?
Oh, my wife is on vacation in Florida with her best friend, and she's sending me pictures of sushi that they're having.
That does sound like a you problem.
Yes. It's definitely a me problem. It's definitely not a her problem. She's got it made.
Yes.
No, and I'm happy for her. Yes. I really am.
Well, that's good.
She deserves it. She's a hard worker.
I met her before. I concur. And she's a good cook.
She is a good cook. But now I doubt that she'll do any cooking during this whole week.
And why should she?
And why should she? So, yeah, we had tech rages, both of us.
We had tech rages. I mean, I always have tech rage, let's be honest.
You're a walking EMP.
Tech rage is my default, you know? That's my default state.
Actually, we should hire you because our job is to find things, and sometimes we do all the testing and we release it, and once it goes in production, an issue pops up that we missed and it's awkward. Mm-hmm. And if we had you, that would never happen. First of all, we'd never get anything released because it would never not be broken.
Right. Everything would be broken. Yes. And this is not a new phenomenon. When I was in college, one of my professors said that my mutant superpower was to like break things.
Oh, I thought he said, Peter, get out. Get away from my computer.
No, but like... this is a thing. This has been a thing. It's like, I was finding bugs in stuff back before it was cool to find bugs in things. I really should have just been a pen tester. I really should have.
I think that some of the things that you find aren't actual bugs. I think the software just wilts in front. I think things just break in ways that they've never been broken before in front of you.
That's a bug.
That's not a bug.
That is totally a bug.
That's like saying if the Hulk smashes through a building, the building had a bug.
Yeah, it wasn't built to be Hulk-proof.
Who could have foreseen Peter, the walking EMP?
You. You saw me.
I didn't foresee you. I realized what was going on soon enough.
But you see me now. And now that you know about
me. It still amazes me.
Apple knows about me. Verizon knows about me.
Oh, no.
Microsoft knows about me. Tesla knows about me. Amazon knows about me. And yet I still find flaws in all their stuff.
You think they know about you, but clearly they do not. Or they've decided that the audience of one who breaks everything isn't their problem.
Exactly. That's the thing, is I have to clone myself. I really have to scale this operation up a little
That's
bit.
That's right. Peter destroys the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Peter's destroys the universe.
Peter's destroys the universe, yes. So, yeah, my tech rage this week at Tesla was I went for a short run 2 days ago.
I wish I had an Elon Musk clip.
Oh, I'm sure you can find them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just doing a half mile run just to test out my new shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I don't need my iPhone, don't need my wallet, don't need the keys. So I just shoved them all into the glove compartment, and it was a little hard getting it closed. And that was the problem. Because I went for my little half mile loop and I came back and the glove box would not open. Because Tesla has made this thing in such a way that if the latch detects any pressure, like if the glove box is overstuffed, it gives up. And it's like, oh, I can't open. I can't open. And so I'm sitting here pushing the button, pushing the button, pushing the button, listening to it go like, click, 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 and failing to open.
What would make you do that? What is the what problem are they solving by taking something that's a little bit too full and making sure it can never open?
Lack of technology. That's the problem we're solving. We're just going to throw more technology at this thing for no reason, just like we do with the door handles, which periodically stop working.
If it's overstuffed, shouldn't they want it to fly open and indicate to the user that they might want to remove something?
You'd like to think that, wouldn't you? But...
I get it. This is an Elon Musk thing. This is his use case only. He stuffs parts of dead bodies in there.
Hmm. But you'd think he would stuff enough. that they would pop out.
This is for specific Arab world leaders that like to use the bone saw on people and then stuff their bodies into the glove box.
Boy, this got morbid real fast.
It's the Khashoggi glove box.
We went from that Japanese lasagna that I killed to stuffing bodies in my glove box now. This is... ooh. So I tried... we tried after the lasagna. We tried to dig into that. We couldn't get it. I got out my lock picks. I could not get into it.
Wait. You had a romantic meal.
After killing a lasagna.
With, what was it, beer in the background? Mango something?
Mango mule.
And then you drag her out to your glove box and say, help me.
She insisted because she is also an engineer by trade and was determined. She's like, oh, no, I need to figure out how this is going to go. And I'm like, more power to you, you know? She couldn't figure it out either.
In step one of the Engineer's Guide to Understanding Tesla, it states in big bold letters, Elon Musk is an a**hole.
Yes, right. I agree with that. See, I didn't call him an idiot.
I need a much better, I got to find something else. I need something like a top popping offer.
Pop top sound effect, yeah. Absolutely. But as luck would have it, weeks ago, I had scheduled a Tesla mobile service appointment to come to my house to fix something that they screwed up the last time I had it in service.
Is there any other kind other than mobile service?
Yeah, you can take it to them.
Which is what you did when your windows were berserk.
Right, and this was them to fix the window problem because after they put it, they did not seal it up properly, so I had a draft and wind noise. And they wanted to charge me again another $400 for this. And I was like, no, you guys screwed up last time. You fixed this. And they're like, oh, okay. And then suddenly the cost was $0.
Oh, okay.
So now here's the thing. My phone was locked in my glove box for 2 days. Fortunately, I could get into my house because I had another means. And I had recently successfully...
AKA he broke his window.
Re-enabled cellular for my watch, for my Apple Watch, so I could get calls here. And I have a spare device with my two-factor authenticator programs installed.
That's a big one.
So I was able to do all of my stuff. The only thing I couldn't effectively do was make calls as easily, but I could receive them. So we were good. And I said, I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to wait for the tech to show up and then ask him to fix this. So he showed up today and he said, yeah, I think I can get into that. I'll check. And he was able to very quickly, you know, fix the window issue. And he's like, yeah, let me see. Let's see how we can get into the glove box. Let me show you. So, and keep in mind, the Tesla glove box, when you put it like in valet mode, you can put a pin on it because it's an electronic button to release it. It's not just a simple latch because that's so jejun. So there's a button and you can password protect it with a 4-digit pin. Do you know how he got it open?
He guessed your 4-digit pin?
Nope, because I turned off the 4-digit pin to help troubleshooting, because up until then I was typing the 4-digit pin every time and trying to grab onto the box and open it, and that didn't work. No, he opened the glove box by smacking it.
Are you kidding me? Why didn't you try that?
I do often resort to violence, but not on $100,000 pieces of electronic equipment.
Yeah, but I would have given it a little bit of whack inwards, not real hard, just to see if
was... pushing and pulling and prying and prodding. I did not, however, make a fist and just thump on the side and it just opens.
See, I would have thought that he would have fired up a terminal and typed RM-RF.
I thought it was going to be something like that too.
/glovebox/*.
Yes, exactly. No. So note to anybody who wants to break into the glove box of a Tesla Model S, all
just
you have to
punch
do
it.
Is just... just punch it along the side. You make a hammer fist and just punch it like so, like going down as if you're opening, you're moving in the direction as if you're opening the glove box, and it just opens.
Wait, was this dude's name Hammer Fist?
No, his name is Nate, and he's awesome. Nate from Tesla Service, you're the best.
Nate Hammer Fist, you're all right.
The rest of you at Tesla, however.
You can all go to Hades.
Mm-hmm.
In a Tesla glove box.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I'm wondering, though. Now that it's closing properly, my guess is you can't just hammer fist it and have it pop open.
No, he did it. He did it 5 times.
Oh.
In front of me.
Well, but it's with just, it. You, but with yeah. it not as full?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the very before I locked it up again, the very first thing I did was grab my wallet and my keys and my phone out of the thing.
Peter, now you know what I want to try, right? I want to try that on your car doors.
Yeah, absolutely.
See if they fly
just
open.
Boom. See if it just boom right open. It would not surprise me one bit.
Remember when we thought Teslas were cool?
Yeah, that was before I owned one.
Right.
So, friend of the show and sometime co-host Adam Bell said he's considering getting an Apple Watch.
I saw that.
This despite all of the problems that I had with my Apple Watch.
Yeah, but he knows you. He knows that he's going to have at most 30% of the troubles that you've had.
No, he knows that I'm having all the problems for him.
Yeah.
I am like, you know what? That's, oh, I've got to go to Twitter and see if I can register. Okay, I know. I need a new domain name.
Oh, here's what you should register on Twitter. Connected, disconnected, connected, disconnected, connected, disconnected, connected, disconnected. That's a long username, but...
Oh, God. Sorry, I'm looking up my new Twitter handle.
I'm super happy for my wife. She is having fun right now.
Well, that sucks. Someone already took the handle on Twitter, but I don't think
the
domain is taken.
My Bluetooth is now. Is that what you were?
No.
Yeah, that's a horrible sound. That hurts. That actually hurts the ears.
That does hurt.
Somebody recorded that wrong.
What do you think? Should I get techmartyr.com?
Techmartyr?
Techmartyr.
I think more like tech murderer. You're not the martyr. The martyr is the technology that you slay all around you.
I'm the one suffering here, mister.
Oh, it's just like all those people who go around killing other people and go, I feel sad inside.
What did I kill?
Everything. Everything you touched.
I didn't kill my car. I didn't kill my watch. I didn't kill Verizon. I would if I was given the choice, Verizon, as a company, not any of the people who work there, the corporation. Oh, wait, corporations are people now, so I just threatened murder. Great. And I did it recording, too. Oh, my God.
Here's a recording the other day that your job sent me of Peter trying to use a copier.
Why does it say paper jam when there is no paper jam? I swear to God, one of these days, I just...
By the way, I wonder, since we played that in the last episode, and that makes me think of the last episode, that hasn't been published yet, but I'm publishing it right now, but you know me. I have an image in the show notes, and so I'm writing an algorithm to optimize the image. Yes, that's why the show isn't published yet. Anyway, back to that episode that's about to come out, which is episode 8, and this will be 9. But since we played that 2 times in a row, I think that should become...
Do we have to pay them royalties now or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
Goodness gracious.
So my tech rage today was literally, I bought this app called Camo.
Camo.
From the fine people at Reincubate Software. Okay.
Okay.
And what this app does is it allows me to use my iPhone as the camera for my Mac. Because the Mac, I have a late 2015 iMac, and the iMac camera is abysmal.
Okay.
Abby Simel. Okay. It's that bad.
Abby Simel. Understood.
And so I thought I'll use my iPhone as the camera, since you always look better than me, and it doesn't matter what camera I use, you're still going to look better than me, but I can try.
I appreciate you trying.
So here's the thing that I don't like about Apple Pay. I have my Apple iCloud login ID associated with Apple Pay, and sometimes it gives me the ability to hide my Apple ID or use a different email. But anyway, it sends that email address that I really don't want used anywhere to the vendor as my contact information. I don't like that.
Fair enough.
Anyway, I had a failure that was partly my fault. I recently migrated my personal email domains from Google, aka Gmail, to Fastmail. I forgot to set up the alias for that login.
Okay.
So when I bought the software and I first tried to get my password, it was rejecting it. It was rejecting their emails because there was no alias set up for that email, and I have it set up to bounce all non-users. Nobody, if it's not an actual user or there's no alias, just bounce it, get rid of it. I don't have a catch-all.
Right.
I want everything that's addressed to the wrong people to go away. And apparently, even though I set up the alias, now it's just still rejecting their stuff. So anyway, I spent hours. They finally sent me a password, a login that I could use. Now I've got the login. The first time they sent it to me, they sent me the right password, but they apparently typed it into their system wrong. So this time he gave me the right password and typed it into his system correctly. I will say they've been very helpful, and they probably don't have first-time users that are this much of a pain in the ass and require this much support. But anyway, he finally got me set up. And then I read, you can't use it with FaceTime. So I was like, dude, I just want a refund. I can't get the emails, so I can't reset my password, and I
apparently can't use it with FaceTime. Wait, what is it? What do you mean can't use it with FaceTime? I don't understand.
Because it relies on Apple to allow cameras other than the built-in camera to be used with FaceTime.
Okay.
And that didn't work. But then I found out it does work with 12.3. I just have to re-download their software after having upgraded to 12.3, which I thought I did before I downloaded it the first time. Anyway, I re-downloaded it. Then I had to fight with the security settings saying, yes, please allow it to use the camera, blah, blah, blah. Then I had to reboot my Mac. Anyway, it was a whole thing. But right before we started recording, it's working now. That was my tech rage for the day. Literally, I was trying to get a login to a program that would let me use my iPhone as a camera for my Mac. That was the stupid thing that I spent days trying to get.
I will invite you to remember that I've been drinking beer, so I was trying to figure out why your Fastmail wasn't letting you work with FaceTime, and I was like, I don't understand.
Wow, you're way behind.
I think I'm ahead of you based on my inebriation.
You can listen to this podcast later and decide whether or not it's still, whether or not it still...
I'll catch up.
Doesn't make sense.
I'll catch up when I'm sober.
And the non-drinking, completely sober listeners can listen and decide whether or not it makes sense.
And they'll say, wow, Peter's really, he's three sheets to the wind already.
Mm-hmm. What other tech problems have you had? Weren't you mad about something today?
Not really today, no. So after a month of no cellular service on... Yes, a month of no celibacy.
Sorry.
A whole month of no celibacy. Huh, wow.
Cellularbacy.
No cellular celibacy. After a month of no cell signal on my watch, Verizon was just completely unable to make it work. I tried 8 different phone calls, different with different people, and they're like, oh yeah, we can fix this. It's this. Oh, it's not working. Oh, try again tomorrow. Oh, try this. Oh, try that. And none of these times it never worked. I finally had enough and I just had them cancel service. And then after a week or two,
wow,
I went back and just activated it myself.
Yeah, that's what you should have done to begin with.
Yeah. So the reason I'm pissed now is just the principle of the thing, because they charged me for all this time when it wasn't working. And they also charged me. They tried to deactivate it. That's right. They actually did try to deactivate it and remove it from my account. And that did not work.
They charged you a deactivation fee?
They charged me a deactivation fee and tax to reactivate it.
Oh my God, you have to be kidding me.
I am not kidding you.
Activation fees are already the worst, but a deactivation fee?
Well, the deactivation fee was in the form of a partial month. So they didn't actually, there's no actual deactivation fee showing up on my bill, but they just billed me for time because they're like, oh, well, we bill on the Xth day of the month. So you've got to, you know, suck it up for all that time you didn't have it. So effectively a deactivation fee.
Yeah. Even though he wasn't using it, we spent time on it. So.
Yeah. Right. And thanks guys. So that was fun. Not fun.
Fun, not fun. They're sorry, not sorry.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that you wanted to talk about was your running shoes, and you were trying to make your new running shoes more minimalist, and I don't understand why you didn't just buy minimalist running shoes to begin with.
Because I made a mistake.
Uh-huh.
So my running buddy, Greg...
That should have actually been the podcast that we created, was I Made a Mistake.
I Made a Mistake. That will be our next podcast, Scott. Let me say... Wait, hold on a second.
By the way, I have green dragon tea today, in addition to my beer.
Ooh. Yeah, someone already has imademistake.com, but it's just a parked site, so maybe we could get it.
Yeah, for $1 million.
It's for sale. We can call after Nick at 1-339-222-5147. Or 866-836-6791. Click here for more details.
Or 912.
Do you need a price instantly? You can call them right now. It's toll free in the United States or Canada.
I think you should do it.
Should I do that on air?
Yeah, is there a way to get the audio onto this recording of yours?
We'd have to conference it in somehow. Nah, I'd have to do like a Zoom call or something, and I'm not sober enough.
You'd have to do a total Simpsons voice. Hello, yes, I'm looking for the domain of imademistake.com.
I think I'd be more like, hello, I'm looking to buy this domain that I saw online. imademistake.com. Yes, who's calling, please?
My name is Wayne. Bruce Wayne. How much do you want for this domain?
Yes, sir, that'll be $1,000.
Unacceptable. I will pay no less than $100,000 for this domain. Do you accept my offer?
Oh my god, we should totally pivot this into a prank phone call podcast.
We could do it. I can come up with the voices. I have the voices.
Friends with beer and phones.
Friends with phones? Oh, brother. Anyway, so imademistake.com is up there.
So you apparently had to cut the bottoms off your shoes.
Yeah, so what happened? So Greg bought these Ultra Lone Peaks.
Wait, who's Greg?
Greg's my running buddy.
Okay, okay.
And so I looked at them and I was like, they look pretty cool. They're pretty flat. By flat, I mean they don't have like a big heel-toe drop, right?
Right.
And so I mentioned them to my running coach, who was also Greg's running coach. And he's like, yeah, those are like, you know, possibly the best running, you know, trail running shoe ever. I'm like, all right, I'm convinced enough that I will try them, right? So I bought a pair and I went out and I did 10K in the snow in them. And they felt amazing. They felt stable and they felt flat. And I was like, all right, these feel pretty good. I want to buy a second pair right away, because when you find a good pair, get a second one, wear them evenly, and then they wear evenly, and you have them for a long time. So great, fine. Got the second pair, took them out for a non-snowy day on a very technical trail, rocky, etc., etc., and I felt every time that I was coming downhill or taking a sharp turn that I was going to roll my ankle. They were so unstable that I was like really, really unhappy. Especially because I just bought two pairs of these things and these were not cheap. So then I had a thought 2 days ago, and this was right up before I locked my glove, shoved my glove box full of stuff and locked it up.
I hope you weren't thinking about pushing Greg off the trail.
No, I was thinking of removing the insoles and seeing what happens. So I pulled the insoles out and suddenly, oh, this actually feels better. And so I did just a quick half mile technical trail run with them, and now they feel awesome. They're like minimalist shoes with claws.
Wow.
So I was actually happy with those.
Wait, do the claws go up or go down?
They go down.
That's good. What's the name of these shoes?
Ultra, Altra. Not to be confused with All Trails, Scott. That's
no.
Totally different.
Ultrarunning.com. And then what's the shoe?
Lone Peak 5.
These are trail shoes.
Yes, I said that.
Wow, I know. I'm repeating it for the listener in case that they...
Are you drunk or something?
No, are you?
I mean, yes.
I know you are, but what am I? Where's the names of these
shoes? Apparently you're not drunk.
Here's the Youth Lone Peak. Here's the Men's Lone Peak. Okay.
That's the one.
These are definitely not super
minimalist,
but they're definitely not bouncy houses.
But they are kind of bouncy houses. That's the thing.
Oh, are they?
Until I yanked the insoles out, and then this much better.
No. But bouncy houses are where they have air and all kinds of puffy stuff in the sole.
Oh, okay. No. These are not like the New Balance Fresh Foam More, which have like 14 inches in the heel. No, not like that.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Or how dare you come anywhere near close to the surface of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But so anyway, with the insoles removed, they're actually pretty good. And I was happy with them again.
And can you maintain proper form with these?
Yeah. Yep. Also, I also picked up my first pair of Zero shoes, X-E-R-O. I got the Zero Speed Force. And those are a minimalist shoe. And I love them. I love them.
Peter, you can't come here bragging about buying Zero shoes.
I resisted buying the Zeros for the longest time. I don't know why. I thought I was happy with my Merrell trail gloves.
Yeah.
And my Merrell vapor gloves. I'm still happy with the Merrell trail gloves. But I will probably never buy another pair of Merrill Vapor Gloves. I'm just going to go on with the zeros moving forward.
Now, what's the name of the model?
Speed Force, which is also a bit of a comic book reference.
Those look nice.
They are nice.
They're a little more expensive than the Merrills.
That's why I bought the Merrills.
They actually look like Merrill copies. So who copied who here?
I'm pretty sure Merrill's been doing them longer, but I don't know that for sure.
Okay. Right. So would you ever... You would not wear these trail running, though, right? These Speed Forces?
No, not trail running.
A little too thin?
A little too thin, although they do come also with a removable insole, which may make up for it, but they don't have much in the way of tread, so I probably would not use those for trailing.
They have a picture of some red ones on their website, and it literally looks like this dude is wearing boxing gloves on his feet. They're not that bulbous, of course, but why do they show a weightlifter? Who cares about a weightlifter? No one gives a rip what shoes a stupid bodybuilder wears. Jeez.
Speaking of stupid bodybuilders.
Oh boy. Here we go. Peter's going to insult a listener.
No. No, but you did mention, you mentioned bodybuilders. Speaking of bodybuilders, did you see Arnold Schwarzenegger's tweet, his video tweet to the people of Russia?
Negatory.
I recommend watching it.
Okay. I'll go in search of. And now I have to put that in the show notes.
Yep. If you look at my my Twitter feed, it's probably the latest thing there because I believe I retweeted it and I don't think I've tweeted since. So, because I know, you know, for you, dear listener, it's going to be a lot easier for you to find my Twitter feed than, you know, some obscure internet personality like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I have a conspiracy theory for you.
Do you?
A retweet is an RT. An RT is also a very untrustworthy Russian news source.
You also now have to update the show notes again because RT is also Request Tracker. That is an open source ticketing system, which I have used since 2003, and I was in training for today.
We use Jira.
Yeah. This is a lot more lightweight.
Mm-hmm. Jira is slow. At least, okay, it could just be our implementation, but everything related to Jira is slower than hell.
My RT instance is snappy.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Peter has a snappy RT. Uh-oh. I see a friend of yours is typing at you because you're typing back and you're looking happy.
Yep. Exactly.
You're setting up a glove box date for later, aren't you? A glove box fighting date.
No. After this, I will be going downstairs to the couch to watch another episode of the Daredevil Netflix show because that is now on Disney Plus. And I know you're all like, I will never watch Marvel. That's fine because that means there's more Marvel for me to watch.
No, I don't begrudge you to do it. Everything. Oh, hold on.
Oh, you need to. Yep.
Everything is Marvel. There's so much Marvel. They're barfing Marvel. It's coming out of their mouth and their ass. It's coming out both ends, Peter.
And the funny thing about that is that despite all of that, still almost everything Marvel is still better than almost everything DC.
Yeah, I will grant you that. That is not wrong. I did not like the storyline of Endgame and stuff like that. I didn't like the whole destroy the whole universe thing because to me, they kind of ruined the arc of those characters, but whatever. I guess that was their plan. I don't know. I just didn't like it. I didn't like the storyline.
Mm.
I get that some people probably did. I didn't like the Fat Thor or whoever it was. I didn't like
I didn't really care for Fat Thor. That was
I didn't like everybody disappearing off the face of the earth. You know, all these people dying. The Iron Man arc was unsatisfying to me. I don't know. I just didn't really care for it.
Oh, well.
I know. And it's not for me, and that's fine. I'm not one of those people that's saying, gee, I wish I could go back in time and edit the timeline so that these Marvel movies were never made. Because I can totally not watch them.
Because you could just snap your finger. Snap your finger and make it all go away.
Right, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Make all those people disappear. Half the population of the earth.
Boom. Of the universe, man.
It's a good thing I don't have those powers.
Yeah. Speaking of people who have sort of like that power, how about Putin?
Yeah. Not a good time. I work with people. That vendor that I was talking about, the American division of that company, they've got a lot of Ukrainians working for them. And one of the kids, I call him a kid. He's probably in his 30s, but he's younger than me. And he's
kids today.
He's got family back there that does, you know, left everything and fled as mm-hmm. fast as they could. And he's got one relative that's still in a pretty dangerous place. I don't know, man. It's just, it's horrible. I mean, and they're the lucky ones. They lost everything, but they're the lucky ones because they're still alive.
I still just don't understand how any nation or international organization believes anything that the Russian government says.
I don't know.
When they lie after lie after lie after lie, like bald-faced lies.
Yeah, but I guess my question to you is, what makes you think that anybody does believe them?
They're still a quote-unquote member of the international community. They're still like number, you know, one out of five of the UN Security Council.
But isn't that a keep your enemies closer thing?
I don't think so.
You don't think
so? We have companies doing company stuff in Russia. You know, companies doing business in Russia. They have trade, although we're working to cut that off.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah.
I'm not talking about just right now, but I'm just saying, like, their MO for decades has just been, just lie, you know, just deny everything, you know?
But don't forget, so the last administration loved Russia. That didn't help. That doesn't mean that the current administration is doing everything right, for sure. On the other hand, it's a delicate situation. You can't... They've got nukes, dude. You can't just go to 11, straight to 11. You can't go there. Because he's proven that he's crazy, and he's in... He does not want to lose face. He doesn't want to lose. And he's got nukes. I mean, you have to be somewhat careful with this dude. You know, I don't... Look, we're recording this, so I won't say my thoughts about assassination attempts, but...
Right, you don't have to say your thoughts. You do not have to confirm that you and I share our thoughts on assassination attempts.
Right. Something like that would be the safest option, in my opinion. But, hey, remember there was talk about that military guy who was going to possibly... that they suspected was not in favor of the things that Putin was doing, and that maybe Putin was worried that that guy was going to... stage a coup. What happened to that guy? Did he disappear? Or is that guy still around? Now I gotta do some research.
I don't even know who that guy is, so I can't comment.
All right, I'll do some... I'm putting myself on the hook for next time for homework for talking about that situation and finding out what happened to that dude.
Just throw it in the show notes.
I will. No, I want to talk about it next time.
Well, I mean, put it in the show notes as a bookmark so you remember when to look it up. So.
Yep. What else?
There you
go. What else have you been doing?
I think that's all I got right now. I'm kind of drunk.
You seem pretty jovial for a guy who's had a lot of tech rage lately.
Well, it's getting better, right? So Nate was able, again, Nate from Tesla. Thank you.
You know what you should have done? You should have locked your watch in the glove box. Why did you not do that? You locked the wrong thing in there.
Is it locked it in the glove box? I thought you were going to say like I should have lopped the bottom half of my watch off, like I lopped off the insoles. That's
there
what I thought
you
were
go.
Saying.
Yeah, and worn the watch on the bottom of your foot.
Exactly.
Oh my god, That's hilarious.
There were days when I was tempted to grind this thing under the heel of my foot. Believe me.
By the way, I just want to do a PSA right now.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right.
You got a question in there, Trent?
If you have a question about life and you are stressed or depressed, get help. Just freaking get help. Because depression is probably something that you can't cure by yourself. It's probably something that your friends and family can't help you overcome, though they may want to. And it probably has something to do with the chemical bath that your brain is being washed in. So get help. Just get help. Because when you're depressed, your friends and family suffer as well. So when everyone in your life is telling you to get help, please get help. It's the right thing to do. There, that's a PSA.
That was a PSA.
That is a massive subtweet, yes, but it is definitely a PSA.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not at you. You're not. You seem okay.
I think I'm okay.
You're a little angsty about the technology, but I don't think you need counseling for it. I don't think there's any counseling that could help you with your tech rage, frankly.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Their computer would break as soon as you walked into their office.
You know, what did get better, though, was I had remembered that I had fallen out of my habit of regularly meditating. And getting back into the habit just a couple days in a row, things got better. I was like, oh, yeah, that's why I do this. Why? Because things were going good. So I'm like, I can slip a little while, and that's what happens. So,
by the way, speaking of fitness, I still am just amazed to this day that all my knee pain is just gone. Just gone. I know I shouldn't talk about it so much, but it's just freaking amazing to me. Because
funny how
it was
that
a
works.
Serious, serious, serious problem. And it was recurring.
And people will say, it's probably not the shoes.
It was absolutely the shoes. It was the shoes and the gait, the running technique.
Well, the shoes force you to change your running technique.
The shoes definitely, yeah, these shoes forced me to change my running technique, or they at least allowed me to. And the other shoes definitely didn't force me to run the way I was, but they sure made it easy to run the way I was.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, the more I hear about, you know, stories about like the Nike executives who created quote unquote running shoes and stuff, it's just like it's amazing that this, you know, because they were first to market, and so everyone went in there and everyone started copying those, and then they're like, yeah, that was really geared towards a very, very small segment of the market. And yet that has become what we do. And now as I get older and wiser and hopefully wiser and learn more about psychology and how people work, like, yeah, I can totally see a completely bogus little myth like that being perpetuated into what is right for everyone.
Well, that's the problem is, I mean, when I say these things and when I talk about how I switched to minimalist running shoes and running on the balls of my feet and all my knee pain went away and now I run, you know, on a daily basis, I probably burn half my calories from the run as I do from the bike.
Yeah.
People will maybe think that I'm preaching a way to them, but I'm not, because everybody's different. Some people can use those bouncy house shoes and they're great for them. I can't. So that's the problem, is everyone is different and most running shoes are geared towards everybody being the same. And they're not the same. Peter, not everybody's the same.
They're not.
Some people have glove boxes that work and some people don't.
On that note, I think we should wrap up this.
I think call. We should too. I think we should.
All right, dear listener, if you want to follow us, you could see us on Twitter. You could find us there on Friends Wabeerpod.
Friends Wabeerpod.
Friends Wabeerpod. That's Friends W Beer Pod. That's short for Friends with Beer Podcast.
It is.
But paraphrasing Graham Cluley, no if cast. Twitter wouldn't allow us to have an if cast.
I must say, though, I could have gone further. I could have stripped out all vowels.
You could have. We could be...
Now we've gone full Russian again.
Wait a minute. Hang on.
Wait, is does that, Putin have that?
Friends with burped. Friends with burped.com. I had an I in there. Hang on. Friends with burped.com. I'm totally registering that, and I want to see if I can get twitter.com/friendswithbripped.
I bet you can.
I bet I can, too. That one's pretty good. That's an entertainment value right there.
I wish we had a one-name Twitter account so that people would try to hack our Friends with Beer podcast. Yeah.
Like Matt?
Like Joe, yeah.
Yeah, Joe. Joe on Twitter.
Follow Friends with Beer podcast at twitter.com/Joe.
Just Joe. Oh, brother. Yeah, there you go. All right. I think this is the time where we push the big red button and get out of here.
Here goes the big red gong.
Oh, yeah. This is where I have to click stop, right?